Done with motions. Raccoon River Conference.
Yeah, so this is just kind of information for you, because we know I've talked to you about this already, but just individually. The Raccoon River's invited us into their conference, and you can see the invite there. This was really unexpected for us. We really didn't expect to be invited into the Raccoon River Conference. We actually had a conversation with their conference about a year ago about the potential of joining forces with the Little Hawkeye and Raccoon together, actually kind of playing each other non-conference back and forth. They've got a lot of schools that are Pella size. I think we would be, I mean, if you look at the document, maybe the second or third largest school in that conference. Some of the schools are definitely growing in that conference. If you look at the North Pokes of the world, ADM has been growing some, and Ballard's kind of been holding their own. And then you got others that are getting a little bit smaller, like Winterset, us. We're not in the conference, but so it's varied. I think Carlisle's been kind of holding their own as well. And I think what precipitated this invite is that Carol, which was a part of the Raccoon and is a part of the Raccoon right now, got invited into the Hawkeye 10, which is kind of the Glenwood, Harlan, Denison, that conference, which is the kind of the Southwest Iowa conference. So it creates a domino effect is what happens. So then they're short. So they've invited a couple schools in. They've invited us and Van Meter and Nevada. Nevada has told them no. And Van Meter is discerning it right now, trying to decide what they're going to do. So it doesn't seem like Van Meter is grabbing hold of anything real fast, because I think they're worried about competing kind of across all levels. The Little Hawkeye, we have liked the Little Hawkeye. The conference has been good for us. We also are aware that larger schools are starting to come into the Little Hawkeye. So Ames is now in, and Urbandale, I think, is going to revisit coming into Little Hawkeye. So I think we're going to potentially see a couple more larger schools. Ottumwa has petitioned and requested to come into the Little Hawkeye. So it's becoming a little bit larger school conference. Norwalk and DCG, of course, have been growing. Indianola has been kind of holding their own. Newton's been shrinking a little bit, kind of like us. And Oski has been on the fringe whether they're going to stay in the Little Hawkeye. And then PC right now doesn't have a landing. Pella Christian does not have a landing spot. They would like to play in a different conference, but right now they're not really invited anywhere. So they're going to probably petition potentially to go into a different conference as well. Now, whether they get accepted is the question. So this is all the caveat of all of this to be said is that there's a new state committee around conference alignment. And it's going to start being active here second semester after January 14th, the way it sounds. And that committee has to approve any conference movement. So the state is kind of stepping into this space more. And you have this happening across the whole state. If you go to the Northwest Iowa corner, the Siouxland Conference and the Lakes Conference have kind of joined forces. But some of the schools, the Lakes and the Siouxland, are not completely 100%. So what we don't know is what's going to happen there. Decorah, Waverly, that direction, the Northeast Iowa Conference, the same thing. So this conference realignment stuff is just like happening. And there's always been some conference realignment when school size starts to vary. So, and that's just kind of the nature of conferences, to try to have conferences that you're competitive with, but that you're not getting beat up you know, night in and night out. So again, like I said, we really didn't expect this invitation. Pella tends to do well in wherever we are, and we really didn't think they would invite us in, but they did. And so it kind of forced us to take a look at it. So what Matt Fouch has been doing is you know, talking with different groups of people about it. He's also been, obviously, the coaches, making sure how they feel. And really, there's an overwhelming feeling, you know, through our staff right now that the Raccoon is a long-term, more like a 10-year solution for us for a conference. We think that Little Hawkeye is going to continue to change and shift. And we think eventually it's going to be less desirable. And probably when that happens, not desirable in terms of competitive, but desirable in terms of us as a system, just because of our size. So we know that we've got some smaller classes coming. So if you look 10 years down the road, probably our enrollment at the high school level is going to look very different than it does today. That's just the realities. So we think we can compete in Little Hawkeye for quite a while, but at some point in time, it will be more difficult, and probably the Raccoon invite won't be on the table forever. So it's a little bit like we have to try to deal with this now, even though maybe it's not perfect timing. We would hate to say no at this point in time, and then in 5 years, wished we were there.
This would mean for the school year of 27?
Well, so here's the other trick with this, is that the Little Hawkeye bylaws, we're supposed to give them 2 years notification. So a full 2 years. So that puts us really, according to the 2 full years, would not be till 28, 29. So now, there is some precedent that they've let other schools out. Grinnell and Knoxville, they both let out of the Little Hawkeye, and that happened with less than 2 years of notification. So what we don't know, but in order for that to happen, the schools have to vote unanimously to let us out early in less than 2 years. So, so we would probably... We would keep this process going. The next step is for the Raccoon River school boards, all the different school boards of the Raccoon River, have to okay our invitation, have to say yes to our invitation. So they've invited us, but it was the executive committee that invited us, not the school boards for each of the conference schools. So the school boards take this up. If the school boards vote yes, then the invitation is moving forward, and then it has to come to this board for approval. If those two things happen, then we would request to the conference that we would be moving, and we would ask them to have us move for the 27-28 school year. They may say no to that. They may make us go two more full years, which would mean it would be 28-29 before we would be in. But that's kind of how conference realignment, it just takes some time to make that happen. And so we know we've got smaller classes coming. We already realized those smaller classes in Jefferson and starting to be in the middle school already. So our enrollment will get smaller. Doesn't mean necessarily we're less competitive, because I'm not thinking we actually will be. But the reality is that we will have less kids. So Matt's been working on a document about travel and the difference between travel. When I talked to most of you, there were some questions around it, and travel is one of them. If the Raccoon's trying to get to 10 schools, with us, they'd be 9. If Van Meter would come, that'd be 10. If they're 10, we've got less non-conference games to schedule. So right now we're scheduling some non-conference in certain sports that are pretty good distance away. So what Matt really believes is that if we're not in the Little Hawkeye, that then we schedule some of those schools non-conference, and especially the close opponents. So he thinks, in some of his preliminary numbers, he thinks the travel won't be significantly different overall in terms of a whole whole season for any particular sport. But he's working on that document right now to try to figure that out, what that looks like. So so that's kind of this whole Raccoon River thing. Again, it's something we really didn't expect to deal with. And I was kind of like, you're making me deal with this year. Okay. But, I mean, and I've been the consistent one in the Little Hawkeye. So I am the only superintendent that was there 15 years ago. So most of the schools, like, they've had two or three superintendents in the time that I've been in the conference. So it's a little bit of a weird position for me because I've kind of played that leadership role for a while now. And of course, with the relationships you have in a conference, that's what it's all about. Just it's really a strong feeling amongst a lot of people that are especially our coaches and Matt about this invitation and this opportunity that we probably won't have it again, or at least in the near future. So this is just for information tonight, you know, and I guess my question to this group is, are there other things that you would like to see besides travel or anything else that we need to gather, you know, other than the information that's already there that you would like to see before there's an action by the board, which I don't know when that's going to be because I don't know. It sounds like the Raccoon River schools are going to do it at their December meetings. And some of them meet on December 8th and some of them meet the same night we do, December 15th. So I don't know that there will be action from this board before January on this, is my guess.
Is that a kind of thing, or sometimes do districts balk it?
Well, they think it's a slam dunk for all the boards. Now, I've heard that before, and it's just not. So... but I always, you kind of depend upon the superintendents to know their board a little bit, but that doesn't mean. So my guess is they wouldn't be this far down the road with the invitation and all those things, but they have to have official approval from each one of the boards. So the executive committee thought that this is going to happen in terms of the official invite. So that's what I'm guessing. So worst case scenario is they don't, and we stay in the Little Hawkeye, and then there's nothing for this board to act on. I think there will be, is what I would say, Joan.
The conference governing committee, that's new. Is that with the Department of Ed?
It's actually, so it was legislated last year, Lisa, and it was legislated because you're having some of these schools are without conferences. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, Northeast Iowa, Decorah and Waverly are both like on islands without a conference. Mm-hmm. So everybody's like, well, I don't want to drive all the way up to Decorah, you know, so you get that kind of a flavor. And so then they'll petition to get into a conference, and the conference will say, we don't want you, you're too far away. Well, you know, it's not really fair to those students in that district. They need to play somebody. So, like, football is all district. So that's the only thing that's like that. Everything else is conference driven. So what they've also talked about as well, which is district everything, district football, district volleyball, district cross country, district basketball. You know, so that would be like the extreme, and then. Yeah, so you lose some of those natural rivalries because people be like, well, because I'm in a new district now this year, that I play somebody new that we've never played before. So, of course, we like the conference things, you know, traditionally, because you get the traditional rivals. And, you know,
when you speak about a district petitioning, who are they petitioning to?
They petition to that conference first. So let's say, let's take Ottumwa, for example. So Ottumwa is requesting to come into the Little Hawkeye. So they're petitioning the Little Hawkeye executive team to come in.
Okay.
And that's usually made up of the administrators in the district or in the conference, for the conference schools. they vote on whether yes or no. Sometimes they vote yes and sometimes they vote no. So what happens is if it's a no vote, then they can appeal to the state. And traditionally that appeal to the state is to the Department of Ed. Mm-hmm. And the Department of Ed actually uses both the Girls Union and the Boys Association to make that decision. But this new committee will be a whole, like a separate organization that will take all those and make the decisions around that. So instead of it being so we're not sure who's going to be on that. We're assuming it's going to have a Department of Ed person. We're assuming it's going to have the athletic union and association on it. And it might have some other representative bodies as well, which we don't know who that is. But that gets going. And so they'll have the ability to say, kind of the authority to say yay or nay to whatever. So in other words, we could technically go through this whole process and that committee could say, nope, you're staying where you're at. So that is possible because we don't know how that's going to go. But what they say is that if all parties are agreeable, they're probably going to let it happen. I think where it gets hard is if the inviting conference says yes and the school says yes, but then the schools in the other conference they left are unhappy about that. Mm. How does that go? So there's some unknowns in this right now that we've never.
Would you anticipate that happening?
I think our conference is going to mourn the loss of Pella. There's no question. What's interesting is there's a love hate. They love us because we're competitive. They hate us because we're competitive. So, it's funny. It's like, well, you complain about us on one hand, but you don't want to lose us on the other. So, so we get this weird dynamic that goes on, Pella is unique and people, it's weird because it runs through everything, through athletics, through fine arts, And people will just say, well, yeah, of course you're good because you're Pella. Like, well, no, there's a lot of good coaches, a lot of hardworking people, and kids are putting in a lot of time. So it just doesn't, because we're Pella, we just don't roll out there and everything works out perfectly. But I think people get this weird sense for, well, how can you be successful year after year? Well, it's all relative. But so that's why I'm sort of surprised the Raccoon invited us, to be honest with you. Because we're going to we'll be tough in that conference. We will be. And we'll be not the biggest, because Bondurant Farrar is probably the biggest. We'll be like second or third,
Third.
Yeah. Who else? ADM, are they bigger than us?
I think ADM is bigger than us. Carlisle's actually been growing.
Yeah.
If you look at some of their numbers. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Can I ask a ridiculous question?
Yeah.
Will you put the names by their pictures?
Yeah,
I can tell you who Bondurant is.
Sorry.
Yeah, which is really nice.
That document actually came from.
I thank Ballard, you because I was going to
sorry.
Ask you, and
yeah.
I said no. I
never thought about that. Yeah, that document actually came from the Raccoon River Schools, but yeah. So ADM Ballard, Bondurant Farrar. This is Boone.
Yeah.
This is Carlisle.
Ooh.
Gilbert, North Polk.
Oh.
Winterset.
Winterset. So if you fast forward and you think it's possible where a school is not competitive in a conference and they will be unable to leave the conference due to that, or will they need declining enrollment to be able to leave the conference?
Well,
because
they haven't come up with the criteria. Yeah.
And you know what? Fast forward 10 years and we stay in the little Hawkeye. Just don't know what would happen.
I know.
Is there a possibility that you couldn't leave even though you wanted a more competitive balance?
Well, there's no question that this committee will have the power. So what I don't know is how they're going to posture.
Yeah.
It depends who's on it, what kind of criteria they have, all that, Paul. So it is going to be really interesting to see how it flows.
I could see where you wouldn't want to come to it. PC and Ames.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, Pella Christian if there was an obvious place that would take them, they would probably go right now. Because they're actually getting quite a bit of pressure from their parents about, can we find a conference that's more like our size? And I get it.
Yeah.
But OSCE's hearing the same thing, even though size-wise, they should be the same. But because of competitiveness, a little bit like Knoxville was for a while, Knoxville's gone into their new conference and been super competitive. I mean, done really, really well. Mm-hmm. You know, and so...
That's how you get participation.
Yeah, that's how you get people out, because that's what, you know, and I get that. But I do think, I mean, I think we are just in an unknown space is how this is going to be. So I don't know how persnickety they're going to get. But I think everybody wants their kids to feel some success. Nobody wants to go and get beat up night after night after night after night. It's just... Mm-hmm. I mean, as a coach, it's hard to gain momentum, hard to keep positive attitudes. I mean, it's tricky, and yeah, I think that can be hard. And so, and obviously, we're not there, so that's not a reason for us, you know.
No.
We're going to continue to be competitive just because of the, like you said, the coaches, the athletes, the dedication and the work ethic that we have, and a lot of our student athletes. We're going to continue to be competitive even with the Ames coming in and the,
yeah.
And the, if the Urbandales does, you know.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in some of the sports where we go, like volleyball, you know, we compete right along with some of those schools.
Yeah.
You know, and we can beat some of those schools. So, and the thing is, looking at the game offering schedule, only half of the sports play the conference schedule, per
yeah.
se.
Yeah.
Volleyball plays one time a year, softball, baseball play twice a year, and basketball plays twice a year.
Yep.
And then wrestling does once a year. They do, I mean, yeah, one
yep.
time a year. So really there's not a lot of consistent
yeah.
travel issues. The mileage is a big difference compared to what we are in our conference.
It is.
I think our conference right now is 34 miles average.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. if we add Des Moines Christian and Ames, then we jump up to 43.
Well, and our, of course, PC is 1 mile, so
right.
that's
exactly.
Like,
if you lose PC,
yeah.
But yeah.
Well, and OSCE's the other one. That's
and OSCE's 17, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So, I mean, I was surprised how favorable our coaches were towards it and feel like, so, which that actually surprised me. But they really are. So
change isn't always welcome. So I'm wondering, what are some of the dark sides that we haven't talked about yet? What are some of the needs
yeah.
that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think when you look at Ames coming in, I think that's a big question mark for some of the schools. It's like, wow, you know, and I think we can compete with them in different things, but, you know, I mean, Ames has won the big class in basketball, you know, multiple times. I mean, Ames has had a quality of athlete from time to time that's like, you know, like we may have once in a lifetime, and they have it every once in a while. So, I mean, and it's Ames, you know, which the university, and of course that just naturally draws people. So they're always going to have a pretty big pool to draw from.
I guess what I'm trying to say is there's got to be some arguments against the change. What are those arguments?
You know, I think it's the same thing. You know, we probably benefit from playing in a tough conference. Mm. So, you know, if I'm a basketball coach.
At the state level,
mm-hmm. you know, and it's honestly been the Pella Christians argument. Like they benefit from playing hard competition in our conference, and then maybe they get the middle of the pack of the conference, but they're really competitive at the state level in their class. So so that's kind of the other side of the coin. It's like it prepares you because you're playing up night in and night out. I mean, there's not like a take a break game too much. So those are the types of things I think that people.
And you're going to have that in life. you're going to have tough things and you're going to have hard things. You know, and sometimes you're going to get beat on, but you learn from those, you learn from those losses and you learn from that and become better from it.
Yeah. I don't think we're just going to go run the table in the Raccoon River either. That's my take. Cause I mean, there's some up and comer schools there that are building quite a bit of momentum in the state. Gilbert, North Pope probably be in the top two, and ADM's always been pretty solid. But I mean, Gilbert and North Pope have really gained a lot in just the last 5 to 10 years in terms of just competitiveness. And Bon Durant is just growing, so they'll have a bigger pool to deal with, and they're going to be up and down a little bit too, but probably more up. And we think eventually Bon Durant will get like the DCGs and the Norwalks of the world, that they'll probably, at some point in time, those schools probably will have to go CIML, like the big class, play against the Johnstons, the Valleys, the Centennials, the, you know, Waukee, so on. But they're not there yet. And they're actually not ready for that. I mean, they don't want to do that right now. So it's interesting. This is not football, because football's district, so it doesn't affect football, but everything else. And like Travis said, certain things, you know, cross country, you're still going to the cross country meets. You have a cross country conference meet. Track is kind of the same thing. You still go to the track meets. So it doesn't affect those things so much. Softball, baseball, it does, that schedule. So
if just saying we do decide to go this way, will the district try to help us out with like Tuesday night volleyball matches not being in Boone?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The ADs do that already, trying to look at those schedules to see what are those long distance games and trying not to schedule those on Tuesday night. And they were used to doing that already with Carroll, because it was a little bit of the same thing with Carroll, because Carroll was kind of the outlier, which was just farther away. Again, Carroll's been those size of schools. There's kind of these tweener places where, you know, the Lakes was the same way. If you got Spencer, which is where Caitlin grew up and where I was for a while, and Storm Lake. And then Spirit Lake's up there too, but they're, you know, it's like, okay, who do we play? You know, because, you know, and the Lakes got down to like 5 schools for a while. And so that means a big non-conference schedule where you're trying to find places to go. But I think it's, you just have to look at that. And ADs are usually pretty good about trying to say, let's not schedule this one on Tuesday night.
Thank you for the update and the information.
Yeah, so Matt will be here the next time we take action. If there's more questions, or if you have questions, don't be afraid to just reach out. And so we're just trying to get the conversation started and knowing that, it was not something I really had on my radar at all, but here we are. So
I think it'd be good to hear Matt. And then just if Matt could present something like, this is the general feeling of all of our head coaches. I know Blaine's here, but I don't want to put you on the spot. But it would be good to just get how you feel about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we could do that in December, even if we don't take action.
Yeah.
But Blaine's fine being put on the spot.
I just think to just explain about the travel. Last year we went to Atlantic, we went to Keokuk, we went to Mount Pleasant. So those are just three of them, and those are 2+ hours. Gilbert's already on our schedule. Carlisle's already on our schedule. North Polk's already on our schedule. So we're playing a lot of those schools, and if we could replace some of those two and a half hour trips with an hour, we're all for it. You know, and there's some schools that are fairly close that have already talked about dropping us from a schedule, and that's just in basketball. So then that tells us, okay, we have to go find somebody, and it's Center Point Urbana that is reaching out for schedules. So we're starting to get some distance in those schedules. And I guess from my perspective, from a girls basketball standpoint, is this is going to be a super competitive conference for us. Gilbert's been at the state tournament the last couple of years. Gilbert, or North Polk has, Gilbert's been there. Ballard has a rich history. So there's, Carlisle has a top player in the state right now. So it's, it would be super competitive. And from a coaching standpoint, it would be a good fit for us.
Thank you.
So maybe, you know, if there's no official action in December, we could at least bring it to that meeting, and I try to have Matt there, and he could say more. He asked if he, was, if he should come tonight, and I was like, well, you have the football banquet. You got, so I'm like, it's okay. You know, we're just, well, we're going to have more opportunities, but I just want to make sure questions are answered, and at the end of the day, where we are, you know, hopefully we make a wise decision, so. It's all on that one.
Superintendent search.
Lisa, do you have any updates?
Just a reminder that next week is when we're putting all the folks into groups, and then we'll start sending out invites. So let us know if you have last call for anybody else that might want to be on the panel interviews. We'll do that next week. And then still really struggling to get folks to apply.
Four or five. Did one just recently come in?
No, I think you're right. I think it's four that have submitted and five that are in the pipeline. So work in progress.
We did stop at the booth at the school board convention and talk to the search firm. And one of the things, so Grinnell is closing before us. So they're going to close here in December, I think. And they were both less than 10 applicants in both pools, and they're closing fairly soon. So like right after Thanksgiving, I think. So it is a smaller pool. I asked Trent, well, what was your applicant pool like? He said, well, we averaged about 15 last year. And that's smaller than what I would have guessed. So just number-wise, the numbers are a little smaller than what they've historically been. It just takes one good applicant.
Any recommendations for future meetings attended by students? Anything to hear about? All right, future meetings are December 15th, January 2nd, 19th, and 26th. Guys, we are almost in the month. It's up to the future meetings list of when we are picking a superintendent.
Yeah.
Like, that's the last bullet right there. So,
yeah,
it's getting serious. I'm really excited for us. So, all right, with nothing else to come before the board, I'll take a motion to adjourn. Moved by Travis, support by Joan. This meeting is adjourned.